what actually we've gotten from the podcast is speaking skills. And we've learned how to become better interviewers, speakers, because we've also done a few speaking engagements. And on top of that is networking. We have been able to speak to people that are top people just because you have a podcast.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. And today I am joined with Seamus Sullivan, who is one of the co-hosts of The Macro Perspective. And on The Macro's Perspective, he and Mark, I think his name's Marcos, right?
Yeah, Marcos Rivera.
Okay. For a second, Seamus, when I looked at your podcast today for the second time, I was like, oh, is it just The Marcos Perspective? No, The Macro Perspective. And yeah, these gentlemen are talking about being healthy, being fit. By the way, we're recording at 11:11. It's a very, very special time. And Seamus is on a 3-day fast. Real quick, before we talk about The Macro Perspective and what you've learned on your journey being one of the co-hosts of that, how do you feel today? Are you dizzy? Are you going to be able to have a good interview?
I'm on fire, man. I feel great. I think like for me, the first day on my 3-day fast was a little bit of a headache, needed to take a nap. I'm also taking out caffeine, got my electrolytes and my supplements in the right place. Second day, I'm feeling good. Third day tomorrow, I'm actually going to be running a few miles. So I'm like as my fast goes, I'll be going up. And I've done a 7-day fast before. That's insane. I almost fell apart between 5 and 7, but I got through it. But 3 days is appropriate. I do it just once a year or here and there. I'm doing it between Christmas and New Year's as more of like a, not to do it for physical, like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight or like anything like that. It's more for like a mental reset. During this time between the New Year and Christmas, I usually like to go to the beach, journal, meditate, and just kind of like get down to like a baseline frequency. And I think fasting helps with that.
That's pretty cool. So is it a water fast then?
Yeah, just some water, some supplements, some electrolytes. That's it. No food.
I'm curious if you ever tried to dry fast before.
I have not. And I would not know how anyone would do that because I need a lot of water or something. Have you?
Yeah, I did a 4-day dry fast and it was pretty tough. They say it's like twice as hard as a water fast. But there's a good part to this. They say it's twice as challenging, but that also means that you get the results in half the time.
What were you looking for when you were doing that 4-day?
Yeah, multiple different benefits from a fast, as you know, as somebody who does it. But my main things were to see how it felt to push my body that way. And definitely after just like a day and a half, it felt like I had done a 5-day water fast. They say that it balances your electrolytes easier because when you're drinking, well, for you, you're taking water and electrolytes. So that's a little bit different story. A lot of people, they just drink water. But they say that a dry fast balances the electrolytes easier because you aren't peeing out all of your magnesium and sodium and everything. Mm. It just stays in your body. So it is a little bit healthier to do than water. Mm. But if you're taking electrolytes with your water, then there is that. But it's just a faster, it's just supposed to work quicker. And you definitely feel it. And some people do it for mental, like you. A lot of people do it for spiritual, like to be in touch with God or the universe. And a lot of people are doing it for losing weight or to reset their body and detox or something like that. But I haven't done a fast in a while. I mean, other than just a 24-hour fast, which is kind of normal for me. I do it once or twice a week. I haven't done any multi-day fasts in at least 8 months. So maybe after this conversation, I'm reset. And speaking of reset, we're recording this and it doesn't matter when you're listening. It doesn't matter at what point you listen to this podcast, but we're recording it around the beginning of a year. And all that means is it's a beginning of a reset. It's an obvious place for a beginning of a reset. I went to the gym the other day and there was tons more people there than normal. And it was pretty frustrating because I couldn't find parking at the gym. I had to go park in front of some other store. Seamus, let's talk about your podcast, The Macro Perspective. Yeah. Let's talk about like how did it get started? So you're one of the co-hosts. Yeah. There was also Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whose idea was it? Did you want to do it? Did you not want to do it? What made you get into it? And how long have you been focused on it?
It's actually just been like a year in like a few weeks, like to this day, like just right about the end of December, we kind of started the podcast. And to be quite honest, the podcast didn't start from like, oh, let's start a podcast because we're like into podcasts or whatever. I mean, I love podcasts. Like I love like the big shows, like, you know, the guys that you know. But Marcos and I work for a company called Synagenix, who are leaders in longevity. We usually have a standing call once a week with physicians, coaches, and things like that. And sometimes there's a dichotomy between what physicians say and what coaches can do with their clientele and patients, and also what the new technologies are saying about longevity, lifestyle, fitness, nutrition, and all these things, right? And sometimes, and not to bag on anyone, but sometimes physicians may not be out there as much in terms of like, what is new, what is niche, what is going on. And I'm a little bit of like a biohacker myself. And like, I try different things just to experiment. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. So Marcos and I, after some calls, we'd be like, we just do another call. We would do another call after just to kind of talk about what just kind of happened. And one of the calls, to be honest, around this time or October last year, I got roasted in front of all of my peers, in front of a physician, you know, who has multiple abbreviations beyond his name. But I was talking about a concept called mouth taping and just experimenting with it. I wasn't talking about it to like to give to our patients. I would never do that. It's just an idea. And I was doing that for myself. And then I got roasted in front of everyone. Not super bad. It was just kind of like, oh. And I think sometimes what happens in the longevity space and the biohacking space, and I think what that physician was trying to tell me was like, all these new niche things, new these marketing gimmicks and all that stuff, like don't fall prey to that. Don't try to give that to our patients. And like, I don't think he heard me when I was saying it. It's like, oh, this is for me. This is not for my patients. But I think something happened. And then Marcos and I was just like talking to each other. I'm like, dude, I love these weekly calls with each other. Just you and me. Not no physicians. We can chop it up. You know, there's no oversight. We can talk about health and wellness or anything that we want to talk about just on our own. And so I was like, dude, why don't we just make it a podcast? Because I know people will probably benefit from the conversation. Sure, it's a pretty selfish conversation. Most of it started in health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness at first, but we branched out to become like a self-development podcast. And we've had different guests on that range from business to spirituality to even like sexual health. And those conversations were from just our curiosity and selfishness. And yeah, that's how it started. So very interesting start. And it's been a great ride.
That's pretty cool. I'm curious what other things that you've done with biohacking.
Oh,
what have
yeah.
you tried? What do you enjoy? What do you believe in that could be in that realm of quote biohacking? So let's do this as a two-part question.
Yeah.
For the more than half of the persons who are listening right now,
yeah,
they have not heard the word. So define biohacking and then let's get into which types of things you like and why.
You know what? I don't even know how to define the word biohacking, to be honest with you. There's so many weird ways. But the word I like, I think the word I should say is probably more optimization, probably health and wellness, fitness, nutrition, optimization. And that means like basically with the biohacking reference, but basically taking your biology and trying to optimize it to the next level. And for me personally, there's a bunch of information out there. I'm a big proponent of people like Ben Greenfield, Tim Ferriss, all the top folks in biohacking. But personally, for me, when it comes to optimization, there are just things that I personally like to do. And I like to do them from an optimization prospect. I don't like to do them as, oh, these routines, I have to do them. If not, like, oh, I'm not going to have a good day. It's not like that. It's just, I like to do a few things. So first and foremost, right now, I'm doing some deliberate cold exposure upon waking. So like in my morning routine, I'll do like a cold rinse. Used to do a lot of cold rinse or cold bath. And then I try to just get away from the phone. So like a bit of a dopamine detox in the morning, not trying to get right into Instagram, social media, and emails. But I do some exercise in the morning. And then at the same time, I do like infrared sauna at night, just so I can decompress and get some sleep. And sauna is also good for pulling some things out of the fat.
When you say it pulls things out of the fat, is there something specific we can talk about that it does?
I'd say like toxins, but it's really interesting. So like I've been cueing in on this and listening to this and talking about fat, like a metabolic perspective. What I've been learning is that fat is this weird thing where sometimes your body just has things it has to deal with in the environment and things you eat. And it just goes, I don't really know what to do with this, but we got some fat. Let's just kind of store it there. So sometimes fat is kind of like this junk drawer kind of thing, you know, at your house. Like you pull it open, you're like, what's in here? Oh, it's just the stuff that I don't know what to do with. So that's what it's doing. And so what I've done is just been doing some infrared and sauna, and it's just been good to kind of sweat out some things. And it's been helpful for me. I like it for the sleep. So those are some things I do. I do some grounding as well. I'm currently being grounded right now, just grounding mats, PEMF mats. I like that. Sometimes I'll do like, I used to have a friend that he was more of a biohacker than me, super, super in depth. He would do something called like exercise with oxygen therapy, where basically you would do like a 10-minute exercise on a bike, or it's like a HIIT protocol and you have like a mask on and you're like super saturated with oxygen, or they take you out of oxygen. So you're like super low on oxygen. So those are some things I do. The basics, like someone that could do it right now, get some cold exposure, maybe take a rinse, go do some breath work, go see some sunlight, and then do some like heat exposure at night. I like to play with those. But then on the other side of biohacking, I mean, I've gone deliberately deep into like nootropics and different like chemical supplement blends just to like modulate my focus. Again, this is an area that like it's so deep and it's so nuanced, but this is the stuff I've done. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. So it's because it's a, you know, you're taking in a chemical and stuff like that.
So I've got a few that you've mentioned, and I'm just going to list them off real quick. And I want you to pick one or two to select, one or two to talk more about. Cold exposure, yeah. Less phone for detox, exercise in the morning, infrared or heat saunas, grounding/earthing,
yeah.
Exercise with or without oxygen, breath work, sunlight, fasting, nootropics, and mouth tape.
Mm.
Pick one or two,
yeah, that's a good
to
one.
Go more deeply into.
Okay, I mean, super deep. Oh, man, they're all such good topics, man. They're all such good topics. Okay, I'll do like nootropics, for example. I got into nootropics in college. I was kind of like exposed to them because of Tim Ferriss. And the concept was neuromodulation. How do you modulate your focus without being so angsty? I mean, I remember the first time, I think it was Tim Ferriss that explained like, oh, yeah, you could have caffeine, but some people are super sensitive to caffeine, like I am. And you're just super jittery. So like when I was trying to study for finals, it was insane. Like I would be up until 4 a.m. on a cup of coffee. So he was trying to talk about like, if you're going to do a coffee, try to have some L-theanine with it. L-theanine being an amino profile basically to help modulate anxiety. It's kind of like decompresses you. So I use that or other nootropics. Like, I mean, I remember at one point, and again, don't recommend this to anyone, I was at some point ordering modafinil from like Australia when it was like first kind of being catered out. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But I never really went too deep into it. I just had like one order of it. And then other nootropics, Alpha Brain, I really like that one from like Onnit. Yeah, but I would just modulate with my caffeine. I'd modulate other ingredients in there and just kind of see what happened. I played with, this is not legal in all states. So anyone that's listening to this that's outside of California, I believe, I played with kratom. Kratom is supposed to be, from what I've learned about it, more of an opioid kind of replacement. So for people that are like on addiction, addicted to like opioids, painkillers and stuff like that, kratom was supposed to be that because it gives a euphoric feeling. And I would play with that too. I would just put it in my teas. So again, caffeine and a euphoric feeling. So I was playing with my mood a lot and playing with my focus. And I'd noticed in college when I was doing that, I would be able to get the information I needed in the textbook, flashcards, whatever, without like having to be bouncing off the walls, which for me was really good. And I could still go to sleep like at a normal time, relatively. And that's how I played with some nootropics. So that's one topic.
That's pretty cool. Let's go with mouth tape because I don't use mouth tape, but friends and family do use it. And I think the only reason I don't use it, I think if there are two reasons, one is you got to pay for it. And Two is that I believe that I have my mouth closed at night when I'm sleeping and also during the day. The only time it's really open is either when I'm talking or when I'm exercising at a higher level. But I do try to keep it closed because I've heard a lot of good things about how healthy it can be by not breathing through your mouth. So
I
disagree with your doctor. I think he's probably a dummy. Or he's probably closed off from actual reality because he's only listening to what he learned in school. So I disagree with him, but I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah. And just to reiterate with the physician, not to throw him under the bus or anything, it's just we work with the clinical base that like they're not me where they're trying to do optimal. They need to get their basic pillars met. Hey, Are you going to sleep? Are you exercising? Are you doing nutrition? Once you get 85% of those pillars, okay, maybe you can play with like mouth taping and stuff like that, but that's not the thing that's going to make you lose weight. You know, there's like 50,000 other things that this person probably needs to do before they get to mouth taping. So mouth taping would be for someone that has, I would honestly say, has most of their pillars set for their health and wellness, and then they want to experiment with like a few things. So I do the mouth taping, and a lot of this work is from James Nestor. If anyone wants to read into it, the book is called Breathe by James Nestor. I believe that's it, but he's the author. And that book kind of came out like 2 or 3 years ago, and lots of studies on this stuff. But personally, for me, what I just bought what they call like medical tape on Amazon. It was like $7. So you can put it on your mouth and it's not going to mess with you. I put that on my mouth and I tried the first few weeks. I'll be honest with you, I remember like waking up in the middle of the night, having to rip it off. It was very uncomfortable, things like that. But when I got settled into it, I noticed a few things right away. I personally just felt like I didn't need as much sleep. I don't know why exactly the reason why for me, but I just woke up like an hour and a half earlier and I felt good and I was ready to go. That was it.
That's pretty cool.
The other thing I did on top of the mouth taping, this is different. I haven't been mouth taping because I'm experimenting with this, is actually a mouthpiece while I sleep. It's from Airwave. They're actually a pretty known company for like CrossFit performance and using mouthpieces. But I have learned a few things about sleep apnea and a few things about the complications of like being in sleep. But like, look, I was a wrestler. I have a bigger neck and I have a thicker neck, or my jaw is a little bit off, all these things. The Airwave mouthpiece, what it does is it helps keep your tongue forward and kind of opens up that like airway a little bit more. So I personally keep my tongue forward and have that mouthpiece. It has the airway open a little bit more. I use a specialty pillow too, where it has my neck arched a little bit. And being a wrestler and having like shoulder issues, that actually has been super helpful, more so than the mouth taping for me, because I realize for most folks that are bigger, that are heavier, and if their tongue collapses on top of them in the middle of the night, that ruins their sleep. So that's actually been helpful for me. And it's actually been helpful for clients that have explored that as well. Just because, look, everyone might not have a thicker neck. Everyone might not have shoulder issues like I do, but everyone has a tongue and gravity makes your tongue fall back. So maybe something there for people to explore. Again, just something I've tried.
Interesting. Cool stuff. So now this was going back into what you mentioned, you and Marcos had these meetings once a week with the doctors and such. And sometimes you decided that you were going to start doing calls after. These calls yeah. were always interesting to you. It was always you taking things a little step further. And so you decided, it sounds like, to start recording them a little over a year before we record this episode.
Yeah.
Other thing is there that you think might be a purpose of the podcast? Does it help you make money with your job? Does it help you learn and be better at your craft? Yeah. What would be the other reasons behind having a podcast for you?
Yeah. Well, we did want to make a different brand and make money with the pod, but what actually we've gotten from the podcast a lot of is, one, skills, speaking skills for sure. We've been able to do more podcasts. We do this weekly. We do a few episodes per week, and we've learned how to become better interviewers, speakers, because we've also done a few speaking engagements. And honestly, the biggest thing too, on top of that, is networking. We have been able to speak to people that are like top people in their specific fields just because you have a podcast. It really puts you in a different place. So for us, it's honestly more of a masterclass. It's really selfish at the end of the day. So most people that are listening in, they're like, man, this is really these two guys just getting, you know, an hour and a half with someone that they truly want to get an hour and a half with. Yeah, it really is that. But the other thing I also realized too was, bringing it back to our other job with Cinegenics, well, they want to start a podcast. They want to have more speaking engagements. And it's like, look, we already created the platform. We know what to do in terms of cadence, marketing, and social media to have a network. So if Cinegenics wants to get out there in terms of they want to do speaking engagements, well, we've had someone from the UFC on, like the head of the physical therapist. They want to do more brain stuff. Well, we had like a brain specialist come on who does a bunch of speaking engagements. He has a big course and all that. So it's like, okay, cool. It all lines up. We've got the right network. So for us, I think I've realized maybe we're not making money on it in terms of like a podcast for us, but we've created some skills and we might be able to connect some people together. And that's a great value add to not only ourselves, but our company too. So yeah.
That's pretty cool. So how many episodes have you done in a little over a year?
I believe we just recorded and published about just over 80 episodes. I think it was like 83 episodes, I believe.
Okay.
We still have some unrecorded, unreleased as well, but somewhere in that range, 80 to 90.
So you're doing slightly more than one a week, slightly more than one and a half a week. So tell me about that. When you very first started, did you go every other week and then you were like, let's try to boost this up? Or how did the journey go?
Well, it was wild because we were just doing one a week, me and Marcos, just me and him, talking about like a health, fitness, nutrition related topic. But our producer, Rachel, which is like our executive assistant, she's like, I got this guy, DP Gates, who is actually like from the Bob Proctor Institute, like the head of it, one of the heads. And they're like a self-development thing. And she's like, oh, let's get him on. And I don't know what happened, but because of his like self-development, the way he's tuned, he just really like touched us. And we were like, well, we really like this podcast thing. And he was like the second or first guest. But after him, we just had multiple guests, lit a fire underneath us to like get multiple guests on. And at some point, not all months, but some certain stages of it, we were like having a podcast per day or like most of the week. And that was like really fast for us. We personally just like the weekly, once a week, just so that we know what's going on. But we just had a bunch of people on and it was just luck of draw, people allowing us to hit them up on social media, like just like a random stranger. And it was really cool. Yeah, for me personally, like I can't speak upon Marcos, but I follow a lot of people that I feel like are doing amazing things. And like, I just reach out to them and they say yes. And I was like, oh my God, you know, so it's been a surprise. So, but yeah, personally, we'd like to do like once a week, just one person, just because of our schedules. But there was a time that where we were doing like multiple and that really got ahead of us for a while, but it is what it is.
So for a minute, it sounds like you did multiple episodes per week.
Yeah.
And you decided not to continue or pursue doing that because it was overwhelming, or what would be the answer there?
Yeah, it was just kind of overwhelming. Like it was like trying to chase people down in terms of like scheduling and making sure it fit right with our schedule. Cause like some days Marcus would be clinically in the office for his job and then I would be in mine. And then it'd be like, you know, be late in the night still recording one, or like having to record one in between, cause we're still health and wellness coaches. So we're still coaching people. So like the call would end, I'd hit end record, and I'd get on a call with a coaching client, like, hey, how's your life been lately? So it's like, you're kind of like doing everything there. So we were kind of like, well, let's really slow down. Let's figure out a day we record and let's just do one a week. And it might not work with everyone's schedule, but we'll try to manage that.
So going forward, do you plan to do more where it's just you and Marcos, or is it going to only be interviews?
You know, to be quite honest, I don't know. I love the interviews. I will still chase people down that I think are interesting, like yourself and stuff. But I think Marcos and I are coming back to just me and him again, just because I think we're realizing like the struggle with trying to hound people down. And it's hard to get in certain networks, you know, once you don't. But our guests have been amazing because they've been able to always leave us a referral, which is insane. And so sometimes we'll just get a guest on and they send us one. So we're open to both.
Cool. So here's a question that I think is on the mind of a listener, and it goes with you having a full-time clinical job.
Yeah.
And you're a health and wellness coach. Both of you are. And you record podcasts. How, when, where do you record? Like, is it challenging? Is it easy? How have you guys made the time, especially when on most episodes, you're both on that episode? How have you made that happen?
Yeah, Marcos and I talked about this. We really wanted to have the podcast be always me and him. So we had to make it work that way. There have been some episodes where technical difficulties and there was like a storm once and it would just be me or it would just be Marcos. And that's totally okay too. That's why there's two hosts. But it's me and him. I think we're partners in this. We've made it work in a way where like, everything's digital now, so we're comfortable to do the podcast on the road because we'll bring our MacBooks, our laptops with us, our cameras with us, and it's totally okay because he travels a lot for Synergenics. He'll go to different centers, so he'll record some episodes on a hotel room. I have done too, and that's totally cool too. What we usually do is we have our own home office. We have the camera set up, the computer set up, the mic set up, and it's usually there. And we just do it around the schedules of our clinical schedules, but things are ramping up for us. So actually we still have to look at our schedules and make sure that like, all right, these are the days that we could do it. And What we usually do is just probably be like 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, or maybe the month out of like, okay, I'm really busy this week. Like, let's do it next. So the schedule should be open that. So we try to like just coordinate together with him and our producer, Rachel, to make sure like if we schedule anything, it's more on free days, days that are not in office, because, you know, you have to hustle there, hustle back. We're trying to do it on days where we're more virtual for our work, because hustle back and forth. So yeah.
Okay. Do you record ahead of time? You mentioned for a second that you record, I can't quote you, but it's talked about 2 weeks ahead or 4 weeks ahead, you're thinking.
Yeah.
Do you try to have multiple weeks of already recorded episodes just in the bank, ready to go?
Yeah.
How far ahead?
I'd say only up about like 2 weeks ahead, because we're trying a different cadence out too, where we would do a podcast interview and then it would just be one of us speaking or both of us speaking, just talking about a health and wellness topic. So we'd probably do like an episode or two per week. But one is like an hour long interview and then the other is 20 minute short clip, right? And we're doing that. So we're playing with that for a little bit. We'll see what we're going to do in the new year. So I got to kind of meet up on it. But we're about 2 to 3 weeks out in advance. And I think that's appropriate because the cadence is there. We sometimes didn't upload because of holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year. Like, we just kind of cooled our jets, just knowing that, hey, you know, it's probably not really appropriate to put up anything. We're not big on views right now. So look, just, we don't need to upload every week. We'll get back to that cadence when we're running again.
Okay. So would you recommend to the listener that they take breaks during the holiday, or how would they, if they do, how would they do it?
I'll be 100% real with you. I think breaks and recovery and being detached and having space, I know you and I talked about that, as a person that's probably listening to this is like, they're working, they're starting a new job, or they're starting a new podcast while they have a job and a family. Have some in the bank. Maybe for 1 week, you have like an easier week, record more episodes than usual, maybe like a few episodes or something like that. And then that way, during holidays, vacations or something like that, you can have things going out still without your wherewithal, like without you having to be there, so that you can enjoy some of that time. Because probably the person listening to this is like a type A entrepreneurial type. And with that kind of responsibility, I think sometimes you need some space. And I personally have been needing that. And it was good that we had some episodes out, because I just was like, I don't want to record episodes. I'm trying to enjoy my Thanksgiving. I don't want to, you know, do things. I'm taking like the last week and a half off, like, because I just want to be detached. I think that's important. And that helps replenish the energy.
Cool. I got a few more questions that I want to ask you. I want to understand some of the challenges that you had to overcome with your podcast, and especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
How do you find great guests for your show? Want to understand if there's any podcast hacks or tools that you would like to share with the listener. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with those few questions. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that, like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We are back with Seamus Sullivan from the macro perspective. Don't even know why I can't say that. Right before we took a break, we mentioned a little bit about a few questions that I wanted to ask him. Earlier, we talked about it being good for you to take break. Seamus was talking about how if you have that chance, especially like during the holidays or the summer or when things aren't going your way, to just take a step back and take a break, but still have your episodes coming out on a regular basis, that is a benefit. He talked a little bit about starting his podcast and getting roasted by one of the doctors about mouth tape. And we talked about a few biohacking things like cold exposure, less phones for detox, exercise, infrared, saunas, grounding/earthing, exercise with or without oxygen, breath work, sunlight, fasting, nootropics. And he gave us a few examples of that, and the mouth tape, and gave us a few benefits of doing that and how he ended up doing it as well. And now I want to find out a little bit about if he had some challenges, because you're listening and you probably know that you had a few challenges. Let's find out what Seamus and his business partner or his co-host dealt with as they launched their podcast. So Seamus, let's start there. What challenges did you need to overcome in order to launch that podcast?
That's a good question. Now, I want to push back a little bit. Like when you say challenges, would you mean like technical or like beliefs within myself or like
anything? And I'm glad that you brought out that there's multiple kinds. So sometimes it's that we don't know how to do it. Sometimes it's just we don't think that we have time to do it. Sometimes we don't believe that we're the right person to do it.
Yeah.
So any type of challenges, whether it's with equipment, technology, time, or energy.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of it was more equipment related. Marcos and I are like, have gotten comfortable in the camera. We were okay. And we talk to people all day. So it's like, we're relatable. So I think we're all right. You know, a lot of the stuff was like, first off, I'm living with my fiance and like their family home. And like the office space that I'm using is above a garage, but the above the garage spot has, you know, some boxes behind me. I'm using like a nice background, but like, I had to figure out my background. I had to figure out my equipment. So I had to get like stands to make it look good. I had to clean up the space. I had to get a proper camera, lighting, proper desktop setup, the right mic, the right setup. I also got like a new Mac. Marcos did the same thing. He got like a tree, like this, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's called like a tree, like an equipment tree or something like that, a recording tree. And it has like his camera on there, his lights on there and his speakers. And so we had a bunch of more like technical issues, I think, just because we didn't have the right space for it, didn't look right. You can look at our first episode. It was, to be honest, it was like a 720 HD camera or something worse than this. And now I have like a Sony, a super expensive camera, and my background looks a lot better. It doesn't look so tacky. So it was more like equipment stuff and like making it look good, to be honest, just because I think you want to look presentable on the podcast.
Yeah. What hacks would you like to share with our listener today? And or tools that you use to make like the automation of your podcast easier or anything like that?
So this hack is more so about the short clip, all that. I think you have to use like a good studio. We use Riverside FM or Riverside Studio. It's like a podcast room, studios and stuff. What's great about it is you can, as you're going, you could clip things. So for example, if someone said something profound, you could just clip it in there and denote it. That way you could use it for like content on your Instagram or something like that. And another hack too is like, I would honestly say like talking about Riverside Studio and clipping things is having like an editor go in. So we also had like an intern editor come in on the team for a little bit, and we did like a trade, like we'd coach him up, mentor him for, you know, some hours editing, and he would edit our clips. He would go through the notes section of the Riverside Studio. He'd also look at the transcripts because Riverside has all that stuff. Like it's all that AI stuff, which is super cool. And then he would put it into other AI softwares like Submagic. Submagic would, you know, clip edits and like put 3D rendering or whatever, like things on there, captions, all that. So it just made the time a lot easier in terms of like getting the content to look good, to have the right notations, the notes, and also at the same time have like the right clips to use if you want to promote it on your social media. So those are some hacks. I would also say the biggest hack too is get someone to do it. Marcos and I are, like I said, we run a full-time job. He has a family. I have mine. We still do some online coaching on the side too. So it's like, dude, I can't do this. Like someone else has got to do it. So like we had someone else do it. It was just super helpful.
So smart. And it sounds like you get most of the guests for the podcast. I could be wrong there, but would you mind sharing a little bit about how do you find good guests? How would the listener find good guests in their genre if they have a podcast and they want to have good people on?
I'm going to be honest with you. I literally shot into the ether. I would just DM people. Like I'm being 100% real with you. I think how we connected, I just go, hey, I'm trying to get some guests on this pod. This is what we talk about. If anyone would be interested, boom, get connected, DM. I mean, I've literally shot my shot at people on DMs, like how we got someone from the head of the UFC. I noticed what I commented on one of her videos, and then she liked my comment, and then she somehow followed me back. And as soon as she followed me back, I knew one thing. If someone follows you back, you can message them directly. It's not in their like message request. Yeah. So like I just messaged her with a voice message right away, built some rapport. I didn't ask her to be on the podcast right away. I just asked her, like, hey, what's going on? Thanks. Nice to meet you. Thanks for the follow. And then a week later, I asked her and she's like, oh yeah, totally. And then the same thing with another guest who has over hundreds and thousands of followers, more in the fitness space, such a big guy in my space, you know, like, oh, I look up to him. He's like a researcher and stuff like that. I followed him. He messaged me And then I just use that. So it's like, I think you got to find a way to get in someone's DMs genuinely, not try to get them on the podcast right away. I would also say if you did introduce the podcast as an idea, I always say like this. I'm like, hey, Adam, yeah, it's been great talking with you. You know, I have this podcast. We talk about these things. If you'd like to jump on, awesome. If not, no worries at all. I put no worries at all. You don't even have to reply to this message. And I just give them no pressure with that message. And if they get back to me, most of the time it's work. People have gotten back. They're like, oh, dude, yeah, totally. And so, yeah, that helps.
That's awesome. Any other advice that you might share with somebody who's maybe not as far along in their journey? You've been doing this slightly more than a year. What about if somebody is just starting out? What would be something that they need to know about podcasting or how to do this a little bit easier or better?
I would say try not to get it perfect. I'm such a perfectionist. Like everything has to look good, like all this stuff. Just do it and build upon it. So whatever your environment looks like now, however your voice sounds, because the mic's not perfect, if the camera doesn't look good, if your message and your content is good, people will still come. And if you are speaking the right message, and you will get better. I remember my first few videos, so many so many like weird dicks, it's like whatever. Watch those videos, got better, then got better equipment. So you're just kind of upgrading as you go along the way. And that's totally fine, because I would say those first few episodes, they're just warm up, right? And maybe the first few episodes after that, you're still just getting better and not many people are still seeing it. And then once you have maybe the finances in place, you got the better camera, you got the better mic, your setting looks better, you have a better background, and you start speaking better, you get better guests on, all this stuff, then you could become a little bit more like, okay, we got to hold this professional line. Everything's got to look seamless. Everything's got to be edited the right way, but you got to build up to it. It's not going to be like that the first day. So my last message would be like, you know, manage your expectations and work on upgrading as you go.
I like that. I'm going to write that manage and work on upgrading, upgrade. So I got a few notes here. We talked about everything in the first part of the episode. We've already recapped. And when we came back, Seamus was talking about how he, one of the big things that he had an issue with and his partner had an issue with was the equipment and the spaces, because some of the spaces are in awkward places or they have boxes or it might not be great for recording. So he talked about being able to get equipment like that tree that his co-host has and working on that space and getting something behind you to make it so you can't see that other part so that it looks a little bit better. And if it looks better, you probably feel better. Yeah. He also talked about a few of the tools that he uses, but also this benefit, this hack of just hiring somebody. Having somebody on your team or even a company like Grow Your Show, but having somebody on your team, somebody who can take care of a lot of that back office stuff. Because as Seamus was saying, Marcos and himself, they both have full-time job, a family, a wife, they're engaged, they have kids or whatever. And so do you. You have a family, you've got friends, you've got your other personal life. And by being able to have somebody on your team that you could hire to do a lot of that stuff allows you to stay in your lane. Another trick that he talked about was to get more good guests on your podcast to utilize those direct messages, the DMs or the PMs on Facebook or Instagram or other. And last, he talked about not to be afraid to improve, you know, to be able to manage your expectations and to work on it and to slowly upgrade. Basically saying that we shouldn't just be holding off because we're a perfectionist. We should go ahead and get something out as good as we can today. And as we get more money, as we get more time, as we are able to hire somebody, as we get more experience, we can always improve on that that space that we're in or that equipment. You're not always going to be your episode one. It's rare that somebody has a perfect episode one. It's not really going to happen. So a lot of great info. And the podcast and Seamus's bio are in the show notes. So if you want to get the social media for them, just scroll down. If you want to get the website, if you want to get the podcast, if you want to get the bio, just scroll down and check him out, follow him. And by the way, the next episode that we do on this podcast is a little bit shorter episode. I've been queuing up some things that I think are going to be beneficial to you as a listener, so you could be better at podcasting. And the next episode is one of those things. So don't go anywhere. I'll see you at the short episode right now. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.